We made this.
Time is now. Soylent Green is people. I'm your host, Tony Black. And once again, we've got another exclusive interview for the show. One of the stars of Millennium. I'm really delighted to be joined today by the actor who played none other than Lieutenant Bob Bletcher. It's Mr. Bill Smitrovich. It's a pleasure to meet you, Bill. And I do apologise if I've mispronounced your surname there.
No, that's fine. Thank you, Tony. Happy to be here. Well, all you Millennium fans.
It's really great to speak to you. You know, I grew up, as I would have talked about on this podcast, I grew up watching the show and, you know, I've just been watching it with my wife recently, getting her into the show. And we've watched the first season, which is obviously where your character features. And so it's been quite recently back in my mind. So it's been great to revisit your performance and your role in that show. So, it's lovely to speak to you. Should we start this off by...
Thank you.
Absolute pleasure. Should we start this off by talking a little bit about how you... And I'm sure you've probably told this story before, but a little bit about how you came to Millennium and how you came to the role and how that came to be.
Well, I just... I guess maybe a year or two after I finished Life Goes On, which was another television show I was on. I don't know if you're... audience is familiar with it or not, but I was the father of a Down syndrome boy.
Okay.
His name was Corky. Mm. And the show was called Life Goes On, and it was syndicated. Mm. In Europe, I'm sure some people might have seen it. It was called C'est la vie.
Okay.
France. But that ran for 4 years, and that was after I did it. A crime story with Michael Mann.
Mm.
So I came to it. My agent brought it to me, and I was delighted because Chris Carter, of course, X-Files, and they asked to meet me. And so I met with the director. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, but wonderful director.
Is it David Nutter?
Yes, of the David Nutter of the pilot. And I think it is one of the best pilots that I've ever been involved with. I really love the writing, all the offshoots of a crime like that, and what its impact was not only on the police force and the people that are trying to find them, but the victims of these crimes. So often, the victims of the crimes are the people that are left behind. Are not as, you know, not as interesting as story. But I thought it was a great idea to discover that not only the reasons and how a serial killer goes about their thinking, but how they also are tracked down. The pilot was a great, and then it turned, then we got into, as the show went along, got into a lot more serial killing and a lot more blood. And that's kind of not what I signed up for.
Mm.
And I expressed this to Mr. Carter, saying that, you know, it's not what I signed up for, really. I mean, I wanted to get involved in the criminality of it all and how that worked. And that wasn't what people were interested in. So it was a great experience making the pilot and doing the episodes that I did do. Loved, you know, working with Terry and Megan is Gallagher is a friend of mine before the show started. So I thought we had a really strong cast and a great idea. It's a fascinating subject. So, you know, I was in.
Yeah.
Until I wasn't him.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Funnily enough, we just had Megan Gallagher on the show just last week, actually. I recorded with her, and she's such a lovely, lovely lady. She was fantastic. But it was a fantastic cast, really, from the outset. So, I mean, you talked there a little bit about the direction that you felt like that it was going in. I mean, can you talk a little bit more about those concerns? As in, if you say you spoke to Chris Carter about it, but did you feel what would ideally would you have liked to see? I mean, Bletcher do in alongside the character of Frank Black. What kind of road would you have preferred to see him go down?
Well, I thought it was more of a team, and that's not just two disparate individuals working on the same thing. I had foresaw it as more of a team effort and not individual efforts by each of us. That, you know, I thought there was a just as in real life, there are criminal teams, and I thought that was going to be an interesting insight into the hunting down of a serial killer like this, or whatever the profile, whatever we're profiling at the time. But it all became about profiling and inside somebody's head, and it became a little bit more esoteric in that we were bringing in 50 gallons of drums of blood all the time. I mean, bring in the blood, bring in more blood, need more blood.
Yeah.
So it was about the, wasn't about the, when it's running through your body, it's more like when it's spilling out of your body, then it becomes interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
So I was a little disappointed, but I enjoyed my time there, and I enjoyed the character. I thought the character had a lot more to be developed, and it was just didn't work out the way I'd hoped it would, you know? So they ended up hanging me in a basement, cut my throat.
That's
showbiz.
Exactly. Cutthroat business. That's what one of our, listeners, because JD asks, if it was your idea or it was the writer's idea to be killed off. And and I think you kind of just answered that really in many respects, in that you wanted to go a different direction with it. So what was it like to be told that after all these episodes where Bletcher was in a lot of the first season, that he was suddenly going to die in this really shot way?
Well, I think they were surprised by it, you know, and maybe it wasn't, I don't know the way they wanted it to go, but if Chris didn't want to rewrite or to take into consideration what he had told me before, and now that we're doing this, I felt like, well, they really don't care about the original idea. And I don't really know what happened in the writer's room when they found that out, or what it was, but it was a nice twist. to the series, because it's so many, in so many ways now, they do a lot of series where they'll kill off a character very early, and that will make people go, whoa, who's next?
Mm.
You know, will be, give them reason to watch, maybe.
Yeah.
So they made it as spectacular as they could.
Mm. Yeah.
And, with my death, and they made every death spectacular. And it just, the darkness lives in many ways. I mean, the evil of people, the people that we were investigating were the evilest of the evil. And they were more interesting. And the people that were the victims of these crimes were why you know, the whys of it, you know, and the living of it while they were living, what was going on, what was happening to the victim? Why was this victim chosen? You know, how do we determine all this, you know, and what happens later, you know, to the other victims or victims that survived? It's a complicated and a wonderfully rich world to investigate. But, you know, I just didn't get any feeling that they wanted to investigate my investigation.
Yeah.
very much, you know, it turned into putting kids in danger. Little kids didn't like that. I got some principles, yeah. But I was, you know, that show kind of in some ways started a whole genre of those kind of shows. Chris and their writing people and up there are really smart cats. And in fact, one of Bob Goodwin, who worked for X-Files after he was running the show, he was running our show, Life Goes On. And then he went off to run the other show, X-Files, which became a huge hit. And I've worked with Duchovny on Californication.
Yeah.
That was all over. I had a fun character to play. And unfortunately, I haven't worked with Chris. I don't know what Chris is doing these days. Hopefully, his fertile mind will come up with something else.
Yeah.
Touch with Megan Gallagher on Facebook. She's always been a friend. And haven't heard from Lance. I don't know what he's doing now. Wish him the best. But Terry O'Quinn and I did a movie called Silver Bullet together years before Millennium. And Terry's a wonderful actor. We all come from the theater.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've had our paths cross in the theater before. But it was a fun experience. I felt a little differently about it then than I do now. There you go.
Well, I mean, yeah, I just wondered, I've always wondered if you, especially from what you're saying, if you were drawn to that kind of storytelling, because you were actually in lots of things when I, around that era. I mean, I was a young guy then. I was like 13, 14 growing up. And right. You were in lots of different things at that point that I loved. You were in Independence Day, you were in Air Force One, you know, all these movies, yeah. You know, things like Nick of Time, which I think is a great film as well, which I really liked when I was that age. But you were
thanks.
Yeah.
Did you see Rum Diary? Another movie I made with Johnny Depp.
Oh, no, I haven't. I've heard of it. I've heard it's good. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you've been in loads of great things, you know, really, really well-known things. But one of the ones that really stuck with me when I was growing up was the two-part Star Trek Deep Space Nine episode you did, where you played...
Oh, thank you.
I loved that. That was a great piece of storytelling. That and that role was really, really heartfelt, the character of Webb in that, you know, in a world that is worryingly close to where we are now, because it's something like 2023, I think, in the fictional
future. Isn't that something?
It's, yes. Yeah, it's quite scary. Yeah. It was a very truly social action sort of two-part episode of Star Trek. So were you drawn to these kind of roles where you're playing these very kind of quite noble, sort of dignified characters? Because that was the thing with Bletcher. He was a very, you know, human, dignified man in a world where that had gone away. Do you feel drawn to those kind of roles?
Well, I'm drawn to interesting roles, and anything interesting is filled with humanity, and it's you know, or you find the humanity in the characters. And though that particular Webb, and it was just a fun experience. You know, I didn't get to stand on the deck of the ship, unfortunately. But I did, when we were in rehearsal, there was the ship. I did get on the ship, but it wasn't operating. We weren't in space or anything.
Okay. So. It's close enough, near enough.
Yeah, really. I touched a couple of buttons. But, no, that was fantastic. And, since we have done web, since I've done web in Deep Space Nine, you know, Seth MacFarlane, who did all the Ted movies, and you know Seth MacFarlane, he was a huge fan of Deep Space Nine and Star Trek and Roddenberry in general. And I went to audition for Ted, the original Ted. And I had no idea that he was such a big fan. And he couldn't stop talking about Webb, just loved it. And now they made me some cards, some playing cards, like trading cards with my character on. And I'm going to be doing a Hollywood signing show in February here in Hollywood, fan show. So, and that'll be the first time I've done that. So I'm very excited about getting my web cards out there. They're a lot of fun.
That's great.
And it was super. And it really was the first time that they had gone that direction on Deep Space Nine, gone backwards in time. And we got to work on the Paramount lot in their downtown set, which was just, they had toned down everything, all the buildings to make them look like post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
And it was eerie. It was very, very eerie. And the whole experience and the social quality and the meaning of that show, as you say, it was, has come to fruition in some ways, where you can see it a little bit more readily now.
Yeah.
And, you know, the homeless problems, the overpopulation and things of that nature, but they're smart. And, I love to be involved in things that are smart and worldly and are filled with humanity. It's just, that particular role came to me from a director that was friend of the creators and the producers of Deep Space Nine. And she was directing Life Goes On.
Okay.
And she suggested me to the producers for that role. And it worked out, thankfully.
Yes.
Yeah. Very happy to do it.
Yeah.
Very happy to do it.
And it's been remembered, like, even...
Yeah, it's
like,
living on, isn't it?
Yeah. Nearly 25 years on, you know, it still strikes a chord. You know, it's amazing, really. Yeah. As does Millennium.
I think yes, that's just true. It's a fascinating juxtaposition, isn't it?
Yeah, really is.
But I, you know, all those Deep Space Nine, and we all want to seek that mysterious world out there, you know, the world, the mysterious world outside of ourselves and inside of ourselves, you know. That's what that investigation entails, and you know, it's a lot of fun. I wish I could write. I can't write. I'm a constant editor when I write. Not like when I act. I don't have time to edit.
Yeah, it's just there, isn't it?
But I love all writers that can put something down on paper that lives. It's a wonderful art craft. How many seasons did Millennium run? Three?
Millennium was three seasons, yes.
Three.
Which is...
What do some of your fans talk about with Millennium? Is it the characters, plotline, or the titillation of it? Well, how do you find... How would you say qualify the Millennium fans? I mean, love them all, but their association with the show is, you know, my daughter loves to be scared. She loves to go to scary things. And I think there's a certain percentage of fans who I'm sure watch it just for, because it's pretty spooky.
Yeah, it is.
I remember, that pilot when I had to cross the river and they gave me that lovely line to say.
That was
Yeah, that was that pilot still it still holds up. It's a great pilot.
It really is.
I never saw anything like that in my life. I mean, to have someone buried alive like that, you know, and then discover it. It was just as horrible as it looked on film. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. It was cold and it never stopped raining. And it was just, it was miserable. It was like, it was death.
it comes across. I mean, that's the thing in that pilot. I think just to answer your question about Millennium fans, I think that, I mean, I can't speak for all of them, obviously, but I've been a fan since it started. So I can speak to my personal way of thinking. I think people really are drawn to that show because it was very scary. It was very dour in many ways. You know, it had a real anxiety about the future. But I think people really were drawn to it because at the end of the day, there were really strong heroes in there, like very human heroes. You know, Frank... He's like, I think I saw someone describe him as like a Western hero. Like it's almost like a modern Western. And Bletcher was, and this is why I think he was missed, actually. Much as I love the second season, I think he was missed because I think what you brought to the show was a real human side. And Bletcher was us. Bletcher was the person saying, well, what does this mean? You know, how can people do these terrible things? You know, and he often was investigating, but he couldn't understand what Frank saw. And I think that's what people really related to in a big way. That's certainly what I felt, you know, for the show, really.
Yeah, and that's very much the pitch that was given to me, actually, with the beginning of the show, was that there was a relationship here, and that was what really made it interesting for me, was that relationship between Frank and Bletcher, to what they were when he was on the force and what he's become since he's become a profiler. We got away from that very quickly. You know, the relationship between Frank and Bletcher and him trying to figure out how do you know that? Where are we going? You know, they never really, really investigated that. You know, truly. I mean, I think there was a lot of grist in that mill, between Frank and Bletcher, and it drove me and the character nuts that we couldn't chase that a little bit, that we couldn't really, you know, get to that point of. You know, we got to talk about this. We got to, you know what I mean? We can chase that around. But eventually, I think it was Bletcher's too much of an investigator, too much into humanity, and Frank's humanity. No more about him. I mean, it just became too accepting from the very beginning. And the relationships between the characters meant less than the relationship between the character and the victims, Frank's character and the victims. You know, I thought there was a lot more grist in the mill of the relationships of the characters that were regulars and not so much the victims. I mean, there were victims, of course, but then you would have had to get away from the gore a little bit. I thought there was just too much gore for me, frankly.
But then it kind of changed. I don't know if you ever watched it after you finished appearing in the show, but it went in a very different direction then for the next two seasons, really.
Well, that's just great. Why didn't they tell me?
Well, this is it. It's and you talk about the friendship. I mean, in a way, it happened. They did that really with the characters played by Lance Henriksen and Terry O'Quinn. They made those two in the second season into very strong friends, and they had the Millennium Group came into it much more. And it was a very different show from the one you were in. And I almost wonder what would I would have loved to have seen Bletcher and how he could have been Frank's humanity and brought him back from all that in that way. He would have been the guy saying, "Don't get involved with these people; they're crazy." And it would have been really nice to see that. I don't know if you think that. I do.
I think
it would have been great.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. No, I agree. I would have liked to have seen more of that. I was never given any assurance that that was going to happen. So, you know, it was, you know, in some ways, it's regrettable, frankly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't, maybe I wasn't as patient as I should have been. I don't know. Or, you know, I mean, it's just the way, you know, I might have been a little depressed at that time. I was fighting that at the time. Mm. And, you know, it's just what happens, you know.
Yeah.
I can't, it was so long ago.
Mm.
And my life is, you know, my career has taken many different paths and routes and ups and downs. And so I really, it's hard for me to remember all of my experience at Millennium, but I certainly remember it starting up and feeling like this is going to be special.
Mm.
And I'm glad it was.
Yeah.
For the time I was there, and that there are fans out there who thought it was special, and I really, really appreciate that. And that they saw the character of Fletcher as one that they could relate to.
Mm.
And I too felt like Megan and I represented what people were, what the viewer was. We were the conduit for the viewer. I really believe that. But
you are,
and I'm glad that you know, I could provide some entertainment for folks. But I really enjoyed the audiobook. I did the audiobook because I'd never done an audiobook before and wanted to give it a shot.
Mm.
And I liked it. I liked the story and I liked the process of talking through the book.
Mm.
I often thought why Lance didn't do it.
Mm.
But hearing Lance do it, he's almost like this, it's almost mythic, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's better to talk about him than have him listen to him talk.
I think Fletcher, I think you were a good choice, actually, for that. I really do, because I think it's like I keep saying, the window into this darkness is someone like Fletcher, you know. So I think it was quite a wise choice, really. And I think there really is, Bill, still a real love of this show. It's one of those projects where, over the years, even though it was never a massive hit, even though it was cancelled, even though it never reached like the X-Files level of huge, it's got the people who love it. Do you know what I mean? They really love it, and it means a lot to them. And it was a formative experience. Certainly, this is how I feel. You know, I think it's one of the, I genuinely believe it's one of the best shows that's ever been made. And I think that's it, it's because in
well,
in,
I'm glad to,
it's because of the people
I'm
in
glad
it.
Glad to have been a part of it.
Yeah.
I'm really glad to have been a part of it, and it's great to hear from fans like you and all the other, you know, fans out there who love the show. I love them for loving it, and thank you all for appreciating what we had done and how we had done it, albeit in different ways.
Mm. Yeah.
But I appreciate the fans. We're nothing without the fans, and really, I'm glad that that they found it in their hearts to follow Fletcher a little bit.
Mm. No, they do. They really do. Talking about, you know, the role of Fletcher and the impact and things like that. Do you think if you thought about it now, because there's always been talk about Millennium coming back, and there's still people who campaign about whether the show should come back. And I think Lance Henriksen is very keen for it to come back and all this. Do you think something like that would work today? Do you think there's still the kind of stories they were telling, certainly in the season were part of?
Stories will never go away, I don't think. I think there's always a sickness, an evil. There's always somebody out there eating their tail.
Mm.
And those kinds of stories will never go away. Just like the stories of, you know, human sacrifice or people that have lived their lives for other people all their lives. I mean, those are human stories. And unfortunately, this is the other side of that humanity, the really dark, sick side. And it's all part of our molecular complexity that creates this weird chemical human being, you know, that with different kinds of makeups and genetic and chemical and otherwise. But you know, that's why you know, as actors, that's what I'm looking for, is our characters that speak to the human condition. And that's what I think the show did in spades, and that's why I liked it, and I'd like to see it come back. I think it'd be an interesting movie. I don't know if they could wind up the series again, but I sure would like to. And I think Lance is a perfect guy to do the profiler movie. That step into darkness, you know, that that everybody is interested in and you know, finds fascinating, because it is. But I think there's, you know, there are smarter writers out there. I hope it happens. I didn't, unfortunately, I wasn't available to get myself involved in the documentary that they made. But,
yes.
But I'm happy to be a part of this podcast and to let everybody know how much I appreciate their enthusiasm and their enjoyment of the show and my character. I'm very appreciative of that. And glad I got a chance to tell everybody I am.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to have you do that. It really is. And I think if we do get the movie, I mean, you know, Bletcher could have had a twin brother, couldn't he? I mean, you know, who's also a cop. I mean, it could happen, Bill, couldn't it? Don't you think? I think so.
Yeah. I think he's got a bald twin brother.
Strange things have happened in Millennium.
If you've seen a film I did with Pierce Brosnan a couple of years ago.
The November Man. Yes, I have seen that. Yeah, it's a good film.
Yeah, let's bring that back. Let's bring him in as Fletcher.
I think it should be done, definitely. It's been really lovely to speak to you, Bill, about Millennium and some of your recollections. I think considering it's been 20 years and change, I think you've recalled some fantastic things, really. So, you know, it's been a great conversation. I mean, right now, you're still working, you're still involved, you're doing a lot of shows and things like that, a lot of TV movies and things like that. So,
I'm also teaching.
Oh, great.
I'm teaching, one day a week I have a class for 3 hours on a Sunday. And I love it. I absolutely love it. It's a different kind of teaching out here than it would be if people were, you know, studying and training for the theater. But it's a little more immediacy out here to try to find people, how to get them a job.
Yeah.
And but, you know, it's fascinating to help people. And it's great to give back and just to share some of the manners in which I work and how, and to find out how people work. I mean, everybody is so different, and it's just so delightful to watch people grow and change as actors and watch them challenge themselves. So I'm enjoying that quite a bit. And I have a granddaughter
who's
before in December looking at her right now.
Oh, that's lovely. That's sweet.
I love it.
Oh, that's great.
So, you know, a lot of things are still happening. I'm still guest starring on television shows and things like that.
Yeah. Are you managing to do much theater, things like that, given that was where you started?
Well, I did a play a couple of years ago called American Buffalo by David Mamet.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Here in Los Angeles. And it was, David came to see the play twice. It was voted, the LA Times called it the best play of the year. And it was a great production. We had a wonderful time.
Fantastic.
And that's, I shaved my head for that role. And that turned into the November Man. So I kept my shaved head role for the November Man. But it all started with the play American Buffalo, which was just a tremendous opportunity.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. And obviously, you know, the bald head, bald Bletcher twin is a thing. Need to get that trending on social media. But
and people who want to find me, they can go to my name, if they can spell it, .com.
Okay.
Yeah, and I also, the .org is my class.
Okay.
Is the class website. So if anybody in England would like to Skype with me and take classes over the Skype, I might be starting that in
Fantastic.
About a month or so.
That's great. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, true. Yeah. I got a voiceover coach who runs a clinic here, and she and I went to college together, and she suggested we do something with Zoom.
Oh yeah.
Which is like Skype.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zoom's good.
We might be doing that. That might be the future right there.
Oh wow. That's brilliant. Yeah. So what's next for you? What are your plans next in terms of TV, movies, theater, anything like that?
Oh God. Right now I'm writing a movie.
Awesome.
My partners were pretty close to finishing it up, and hopefully we'll start production next year. It's an indie movie, a story. I always wanted to be the lead in the movie.
Mm.
So I put my mind to that, and it's a good movie. It's a very socially aware movie.
Mm.
And generationals, I busted out my age, done with life, and has nothing. His life just ate him up.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he has to go back and live with his daughter, who is a lesbian, and her partner, and they have a child. And he starts driving Lyft and Uber.
Right.
And things kind of spin out of control for Bear.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds really good.
So we're working on that. Nate, you know, he's a kind of a ne'er-do-well kind of guy. And
right.
Degenerate, basically. Mm. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah. Fun role to play. No, it sounds fantastic. And yeah. I hope that all gets into production and goes well, really. And you'll have to let us know what it's called, and we'll get people watching it. We'll promote it through our podcast and things like that, because, you know, fans of Millennium, as fans of you, you know, they're going to want to know what you're up to. So that'd be fantastic.
Oh, please. Mm. That would be great.
But yeah, it's been a real pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you. We'll be back soon for another brand new episode of The Time Is Now. But remember, as always, guys, this is who we are. The Time Is Now, a Millennium podcast, was created by Tony Black, who co-produces alongside Kurt North. You can find the show on Twitter at The Time Is Now Pod, and on Facebook if you type in The Time Is Now. Plus, we have a Facebook fan group called The Yellow House, full of active Millennium discussion. The Time Is Now is also part of the We Made This podcast network at We Made This Pod, alongside a range of popular culture shows about TV, film, music, and beyond, including our sister show, The X-Cast, an X-Files podcast. For advance access to The Time Is Now and access to bonus material, consider supporting The X-Cast and We Made This on Patreon at patreon.com/The X-Cast. That's patreon.com/The X-Cast. You'll find a full range of subscription tiers available. Thanks for listening.